2017.
This call is being recorded by the meeting organizer. By staying on the call, you are giving your consent to being recorded.
Presentation mode is now enabled.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome you all to the Spring 2017 Provider Training. And everyone should have received a copy of the PowerPoint that will be used for today's presentation. I am Tashi Williams, the Director of Compliance for Quality Assurance, and I'd like to welcome you for today. The purpose of today's webinar conference call is to provide our participants with the information regarding grant program monitoring scheduled to convene for fiscal year 2016-17 with the spring 2017 in particular. As far as the grants that will be monitored, we will be looking at the 2014-15 year through the current year of the 2016-17, but the 2014-15 year will be our focus year. As far as the grants that will be monitored, we will be looking at the adult education as well as the Carl D. Perkins CTE grants. The topics that we'll be covering on the call are listed below. The quality assurance and compliance team has also been provided for you. You can expect to receive a call shortly, if not today, but within the near future regarding the logistics and setting up and planning on preparations for the upcoming visit. Why do we monitor? Not necessarily because you're in trouble. At the top of the list, you'll see that there is a requirement at both the state and federal levels. That being said, even if it were not a requirement, it will still be the right thing to do. Monitoring provides for strong accountability that services are being provided appropriately and according to the terms of the grant, and also that the accountability for funds is transparent throughout the life of the grant. It provides you with an opportunity to correct things as you go, to improve not only your compliance record, but to bring about greater positive changes to the program as well. It also provides us with an opportunity to recognize your good practices and share these successes with others so that they too might benefit. Our way of work. The development, design, and implementation of a strong risk-based quality assurance system is a priority for the Division of Career and Adult Education. Our ultimate commitment is to ensure that services are being provided according to the terms of the grant, and that the accountability for funds is transparent throughout the life of the grant. The purpose of the overall quality assurance and compliance monitoring system is to assure financial accountability, program quality, and regulatory compliance. The risk assessment process is used to evaluate variables by assigning a rating to the provider for the level of risk to the Florida Department of Education and the division. A risk matrix identifying certain operational risk factors is completed for each provider and is used to determine who will visit for the spring 2017 or any of the compliance visits and or guest monitoring. The 2016-2017 Quality Assurance Risk Assessment Process was enhanced to include the Perkins Improvement Plan Index. Using summarized source data information from the operational risk factors or metrics that's shown in the previous slide, the risk score is divided into quartiles and is assigned a point value of 0, 1, 3, 5, or 7, as shown in the chart below. The assigned point value is then multiplied by a balance weight between data elements that is used to calculate the agency risk score. The calculation of the risk assessment score is calculated by multiplying the point value assigned by the weight that will generate the actual total metric point. Before you use an example of an agency's risk matrix, a target provider for monitoring would receive a copy of the risk matrix for their agency in the final report that would actually give the breakdown of the various categories used to generate the risk score. Although 14-15 data was used for the risk assessments for the monitoring visits this spring, the overall monitoring that we will be doing covers additional years of 15-16 and 16-17. Occasionally, we monitor additional programs in the geographical areas we're visiting to conserve travel funds, but for the spring, our plans will not include this. Please don't be alarmed because of a high risk assessment score. For example, the allocation of $1 million carries significantly more risk than $1,000. A seasoned director presents less risk than one who is new to the responsibilities of the position. Or the higher number of grants provided ministers, naturally, the higher the risk. So please don't be alarmed. Providers with the highest risk matrix scores will be monitored with consideration of the resources available. Unique circumstances may contribute to the addition or postponement of on-site monitoring or guest monitoring review for some agencies. A provider who received an on-site monitoring visit with the previous year but reappeared as a high risk on this risk assessment during the current monitoring year may be required to complete a guest monitoring review. Furthermore, a provider that required a follow-up on a resolution plan from the previous year on-site monitoring visits may also be required to complete a guest monitoring review. If the target provider is an agency with career and technical education programs, we would monitor adult education programs and vice versa. This will enable us to reach a greater number of grants and providers and be more efficient with the travel and time. Various monitoring strategies are implemented because of the level of risk assigned as a result of the risk assessment process. Any monitoring strategy may be utilized up to and including on-site or guest monitoring, if determined necessary by the chancellor or director or requested by other divisional leadership staff. Such monitoring activity may be announced or unannounced. Eight providers have been selected and have been notified for spring 27 on-site or guest monitoring. Moving on to the monitoring process, the strategies and then processes are as follows. We use a wide variety of approaches both before, during, and after the monitoring visit. The records, data, and file reviews are probably the most extensive activities we do in terms of the amount of time it takes. We're looking at everything from policy and procedure types of documents to personnel records, purchase orders, contracts for services, and mostly everything of financial nature pertaining to your grant expenditures and accounting systems. We also want to personally observe some of your classrooms for on-site visits to ensure that content is appropriate and that instructors are qualified and providing high-quality teaching. Direct personnel interviews, personal interviews with a variety of individuals that I'll mention in a moment, is also a routine component of the monitoring component. Throughout the monitoring process, certainly communications are of utmost importance to us, so phone calls and emails will be exchanged. Referrals may be considered where we run across issues or questions where we may want to consult outside of our compliance section, for example, with our comptroller's office or our grants management office for assistance. Data review also may warrant going outside of your group for assistance since we are now dealing with more and more data systems. I've listed resolution plans here, both corrective action plans and action plans, because these are strategies that are actually developed by our agencies, by your agencies, when compliance concerns or findings are identified. These are important tools in our overall strategy because they help you to get back into compliance or just back on track in managing your grant. I'll also have more to say about these items later on in the webinar. Revisit activities. As for notifications before the visit, they include but are not limited to the following. The personal phone call, followed up by the email that you received from me regarding being selected for monitoring, an official notification letter from the chancellor to your school district superintendent, college president, and executive director, and the email memorandum that was emailed to you outlining the items that we would like to see or have you prepare, have available for us on the first day of the visit. Submitting programs of study materials, if applicable, for Carly Perkins. Today's webinar is also a pre-visit activity. Also a part of the pre-visit activities will be extensive coordination with your team leaders. In fact, in the very near future, you can expect a call from your team leader to discuss the logistics of the visit. Continuing with the team leader coordination, at this point, you should have heard from the DOE contact, which would be me. For this webinar, we're assuming you will be that person But when your team leader calls you, if you want to designate someone else, that is also fine. The important thing about the central point of contact is that it's one-to-one, it is a one-to-one relationship through which all information will flow. One of the first things that will be done is to, in the process of coordinating with your team leader, is to actually develop a detailed site visit schedule for everyone so that everyone will know exactly what the flow of events will be when the time actually comes for the visit. Moving on to the information that's required before the visit, these items as well as their due dates were listed in the notification memorandum that was emailed to you. Please note that these items are not difficult to produce, so we're not asking you to create complicated documents or anything like that. Please refer to the date referenced in the notification memorandum. And as stated, you will be hearing from the team lead shortly. You'll be at that time, you'll have an opportunity to ask additional questions if needed. Guest monitoring activities. The provider will receive an email with detailed instructions for completing the guest monitoring review instrument, which will also be included in the attachment, along with the fiscal allowable cost protocol before the week designated for the actual review to take place. The provider is required to return the completed guest monitoring instrument by the last day of the review via email or by USPS for the United States Postal Services to the assigned team lead. The team lead will then review the desk monitoring instrument and supporting documentations for verification. An exit conference by phone will take place following the review of the instrument to share information assessed after the actual review. Once the desk monitoring review is complete, a draft report will be shared with the provider or agency contact for review. The final report will be issued once the draft report has been received and reviewed by the team lead for any comments or suggestions from the actual provider. Included in the instrument will be a certification page that must be signed by the agency contact and agency head. This certifies or attests that all information provided is actual and is true. In the event there are findings and concerns for items out of compliance, a resolution plan must be completed and signed by the provider and returned with the draft report. A final report will be issued following the draft. Providers with noncompliance findings or concerns will receive a closure letter once all matters of noncompliance have been resolved. If there are no findings or concerns, a closure letter will be sent with the final report. Now we'll discuss what happens when we arrive for the visit. The first thing that is done is our entrance conference. Even though this may sound long and involved, it really isn't. You want to keep it to at least 1 hour or less. While we want to focus on discussion of the monitoring activities and schedule, you do want to accommodate any presentation you might want to give us on your agency if you decide to do this. The presentation, should you decide to do this, the presentation needs to be brief and concise in the interest of time. We'd like to have copies of your presentation so that we could share it and even follow up regarding outstanding programs or services that your institution may be offering. But remember, once again, the presentation is completely optional and it's not required, and you will not be negatively affected if it's not given. We will not count that against you. We expect the majority of the 1 hour to be spent on the actual monitoring discussion. After the entrance conference, the following activities I'll describe will not necessarily be in this order. It will depend on the scheduling. Interviews are very important to the monitoring process. Therefore, we want to personally interview administrators, teachers, students, and staff at a minimum. When you talk with your team leaders, they can share with you the examples of the types of topics that will be covered during the course of the visit. Direct observations of instructors and classrooms are vital to our visit, so scheduling these opportunities will be key when you are coordinating the visit with your team leaders. The records review, as I've mentioned, will likely take the most time, so you need to be prepared to have available these types of records, student, financial, personnel, and in the data category, the types of data we'll want to see include the NRS for the National Reporting System data, the number of industry certification, enrollment, and others. Again, you can ask your team leaders to share with you more examples. Your equipment inventory has its own very special records requirements, and you can go over the details with your team leader to ensure knowledge of the expectations. If it's applicable for your agency's grant, you may have a Perkins Program Improvement Plan, a program and study in place that is another item you'll want to see documents for during that particular time. And finally, we will close the visit with an exit conference where we provide insight on the actual visit. If there are any findings or concerns, of course, you will be notified prior to that exit. But during that time, we will reiterate or focus on those areas as well as provide information regarding the specific areas that we will capture or cover during the course of the visit. This generally will take no longer than an hour. On-site activities continue. The Uniform Grant Guidance, or UGG, referencing the Florida Department of Education, Division of Career and Adult Education, 2016-2017 Quality Assurance Policies, Procedures, and Programs, and Protocols will be listed and discussed as well. Now let's look at the first day and what to have available. I cannot reiterate or stress enough in not making copies. If there are any items in particular that we'd like to see, we will ask you for them. We would like to be mindful of resources and not waste valuable time making copies. So we do ask that you do not make copies, but have available notebooks and different policies if needed or if requested. And if we need these things, we will request them for you. But these are a list of the items we would expect to see on the first day. Additional items to also have available are listed for you. We encourage you all to talk to your neighboring partners or any other agencies that may have received any on-site or desk monitoring from us, as they would have first-hand knowledge and it would assist and help you in the process. We found that those agencies or providers that have reached out to other providers that have received monitoring, it makes for an easier and a more successful visit. So we definitely encourage you all to reach out to your neighboring partners. Regarding inventory guidelines, please adhere to the regulatory requirements for inventory for all equipment purchases. Provided for you is a sample property inventory list. The serial number as well as the ID number or tag number is what we would expect to also see tagged or it's listed on the equipment. It saves us so much time if we have these items tagged when we're out in the field identifying equipment. So therefore, we would need an identifier that will link or track the property inventory list to the physical piece of equipment. I will now turn this presentation over to Dr. Kathy Hammond, who will discuss the programs of study for the Carl D. Perkins.
Good morning. I am Kathy Hammond. I'm with the Federal and State Initiatives section of the division. And this year, we've started to cooperate with the compliance section for the first time in monitoring to work with you in technical assistance on programs of study, and I want to emphasize technical assistance. We rarely get a chance to speak with you one-on-one about programs of study, and we realize this is an opportunity to do that. We can understand challenges you may have, successes, and understand for us as well as for you issues related to programs of study. We'll usually be doing a conference call during the first day. Aaron Sampson, another colleague, and I, either one of us, will be conducting the conference call. We'll mainly be focusing on the program of study that you submitted for your 2014-15 RFA. Michael, if you want to push the next slide. Thank you. For those of you, well, only those of you doing CTE and submitting programs of study will be involved in a conference call like this. But we will be focusing primarily during the call on information based on the program of study that you submitted, your primary program of study. And those of you for districts will be looking at both your secondary and post-secondary because I believe all three of you submitted the same program of study for both your secondary and post-secondary for that year. Back to this first. Prior to the call, the team leader is going to be sending out to you the protocol that we'd like for you to submit to us in writing prior to the call so that we can review materials related to that program of study. So if you look online on the protocol, it's pages 47 through 51, and it asks you a series of questions about that program of study and asks for several supporting materials, like the local articulation agreement for that, and other materials such as that related to that program of study. I want to emphasize again, this is for technical assistance. We want to just learn more about your program of study and work with you on that. So if you have questions about that, you can contact me. That will be provided to you through the email that will be following from your team leader. The deadline for getting the materials into us will be designated in the email, but you can start now from downloading online if you prefer to start now.
We will now continue our presentation regarding the post-visit activities. Once the monitoring visit is over, you can expect to receive the following. And, of course, this would come from your team lead. Once the visit is over, we send out thank you letters as well as an evaluation survey. The evaluation survey, you will receive a link, and basically you want to know, how did you find the visit to be? Was it helpful? Was everything accommodating for you? We generally just want to use this information to basically share with our providers and just let others know how the process actually went for you. As far as the monitoring report, once the team comes back, a draft report will be sent to the director for feedback. You will be given an opportunity to review this report and provide any suggestions or feedback along with up to 3 pages to brag on your respective programs. And these 3 pages will be attached to the very back of the report for others to read and see what you're doing throughout the country or wherever. Following the draft report, you will be issued a final report. This will be sent to the agency head and the agency designee or contact will receive a final copy. If in the report if there were any findings or concerns, you would be required to complete a resolution plan to address the findings or violations of findings of law and also concerns regarding your programs. In this team resolution plan or resolution activity report must be signed by the agency contact and dated for us to fully process the report. For resolution activities, as stated, corrective action plans are required for direct violations of law. So therefore, if you have any findings, you've directly violated some law in particular, of course, the law would be listed in the report, in the body of the report, as well as being provided for you in the actual resolution plan. And as stated, the action plan is used for concerns. You must address them. We take these seriously as well. Where you do not violate law, you still have general concerns that require some type of resolution. Follow-up communication will take place. You can expect to receive a call or email, specifically an email from the team lead regarding your resolution or the progress that has been made in regards to satisfying any of these actions or concerns. And once all of the resolution activity, actions or concerns, or findings have been rectified, a closure letter will be issued out to the provider, basically attesting that all the issues brought aboard have been fully satisfied and therefore no further action will be required on your behalf. The monitoring report. The on-site monitoring visit will focus on the following areas and will also be addressed in their final report in detail. While the team is out monitoring, actually out in the field visiting classrooms, interviewing administration, students, and teachers, we're basically interviewing and focusing on these areas that have been provided for you. So in your report, you can expect to receive detailed feedback regarding any of the specific areas that's listed. Below are common findings and concerns, common findings specifically that have been discovered while conducting on-site monitoring. These are, there are several, but we've taken the time to extract just a few just to give you an idea of the main things that we see when we're out in the field. So we want you to pay close attention and make sure that you are abiding within the regulatory guidelines to ensure that no findings are discovered during the course of the visit. And of course, if they are, we'll work through to get the resolution activity plan completed. Before you are additional common findings that have been discovered during the course of the visit, and we also have a few more additional findings that were provided for you. And where we have common findings, we've also provided a few of the common concerns that we've observed out in the field. So please be mindful of the concerns. And as stated, concerns are generally concerns. They are not direct violations of law, but they would require you to address them and provide some type of resolution for them. And a few more common concerns have been provided for you as well. And where we have common findings and concerns, we also have common best practices that we've discovered out in the field. A few have been listed for you. And all of our quality assurance and compliance reports are provided on our DOE compliance website within the Division of Career and Adult Education. So we would encourage you to actually go out and view some of these reports. They're actually provided from the 2011-12 year to the current. And actually, as this current session, this current season of monitoring, while we're in it right now, as they are completed, we are adding them to them on the current page. But we would encourage you all to visit the link and read some of the reports so that you could have a general idea of feel for the flow of the on-site monitoring process. A series of tools and resource links have been provided for you. We encourage you to also visit these links for helpful and resourceful information. And this concludes our presentation for the day. If there are any questions, you all can ask them at this time, and we will be opening up the line momentarily. At this time, we will open up the line for questions.
Presentation mode is now disabled.
There we go.
Okay, hello?
Hello, this is Hillsborough County.
Okay. You have any questions for us?
Hi, this is Chris Jargo. I'm the Director for Secondary Career and Tech in Hillsborough County. I have a couple questions.
Okay.
All right, so the first one is, would you be able to tell if there has ever been a similar prior visit to Hillsborough County and a report that we could read just to see what in the past occurred?
Most definitely. If you call me, if I can give you my phone number, I can give you that information, but I would have it for you. Yeah. I can be reached at area code 850-245-9033.
Thank you. And I have a second question.
Okay.
With our equipment that's out in the schools, all of our equipment is tagged throughout the district. Through this process, are we required to have an additional second tag on this equipment that specifically indicates it's from the Perkins grant?
Because we've never had to do that before.
You're not, but it's a common practice to see it done. The biggest thing is just making sure that you have the actual tag number reflected on the equipment inventory. Reason being, when we're out in the field, we've run into problems where we did not have an identifier on the sheet. Therefore, when we go out to the field to locate the equipment, we wouldn't know what tied to which. So the biggest thing is just making sure that you have an actual identifier on the equipment that matches what's on your equipment inventory listing.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, Tasha. This is Jason Krupp from St. Petersburg College, and I've got team members here. We have a couple of questions for you.
Okay.
Can you, first question is about the latter part of your presentation on slide 34, the common findings for lack of advisory committees and CCE programs. What is this first sub-bullet? Can you clarify absence of statements?
When we say absence of statements, you don't have anything at all. There's nothing referencing your advisory committees, which is a common thing we've seen. There's nothing in place at all.
On, like, in board rules or on the websites, or you just, there's no, are you saying there's just no indication anywhere of it?
None whatsoever.
Oh, okay. Well, right, okay. I don't think we have an issue with that one.
Mm-hmm.
You have a follow-up for that?
Anything with that nature.
And a couple more questions. How many are on the visiting team? I know you don't want us to make copies, but you did ask for handbooks and things like that, and we want to be sure that we have sufficient numbers of handbooks for team members.
There are four members on the compliance team. Depending on the size of the district or agency college, you could have two people up to four. But we still encourage you not to make copies. If you have these items listed online, you could give us the link. Or if you have a notebook where they are held or housed, just let us know. And if we need anything in particular, we'll ask for you to provide it for us on site.
Once you're here, you mean?
Once we're there. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But if these things are, if you have links to any of these sources, you could send those beforehand to the team lead. And they, of course, could review them, or we could look at them while on site.
Okay. Thank you. Lisa has a question or two.
So in regard to the program of study component, I think you mentioned that you're going to be looking at the 2014-15. Their requirements have changed a lot since then. Are you also looking at the current ones, or how is that going to work?
We're going to be talking primarily about the one from 14-15. Yes, I know we've been changing the questions that we've been asking you and requiring more for the programs of study, but we will talk to you mainly about 14-15. We will reference a little bit of the current, but mainly focus on that year.
Okay, so currently on our website, we have the up-to-date one available. We don't have to go back and put the old one up, do we?
I would like the old one. In fact, I can get the copy of the old one, and I can send it to you if I need to.
No, I mean, I have it, but I just don't have it on the website available.
Okay, no, that's right. That's great that you have the updated on your website. We don't expect that one. But you will need to submit it with the protocol materials.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay. Any other questions about that?
All right.
We're good here. Thank you.
Are there any additional questions at this time?
Yes, hi. I have a question. So since you're going to be reviewing the 14-15 school year, when you say you want to see employee handbooks, will you tell us, you know, what version you want to look at when it's appropriate? Like, just like the question the lady had right now, I mean, do you want to see the 14-15 version, or do you want to see the actual version?
If you could have the 14-15 provided, 14-15, 15-16, and 16-17 would be ideal, if you have all three.
All three. Okay. Thank you.
Are there any additional questions at this time?
We have a question here. Is this webinar going to be available recorded for future if anyone was unable to attend today?
Yes, it will. It sure will. Matter of fact, probably today we should be able to post it for you, but it will definitely be available.
Okay, where will it be posted?
It will be on our compliance website, the main page for the quality assurance and compliance section, just under the resources tab. It will be housed there.
Thank you.
And of course,
question from Hillsborough County. In terms of sharing electronic documents, will we be provided a website to upload things, or will we be putting them on? How do we transfer and share electronic documents with your team?
Generally, a flash drive. That's what's been commonly used, but you can email them or put them on a flash drive. That's fine.
Thank you.
You're welcome. If there are no additional questions at this time, this concludes the webinar for today. Thank you all. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.